السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma narrated that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would wake up for tahajjud, he would sit up and then he would make the following dua. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would wake up for tahajjud, he would sit up from his bed and he would make the following dua. I want you to listen to the dua very carefully. It's very simple Arabic words. I don't think you will have any difficulty understanding them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Allahumma lakal hamdu anta qayyimu samawati wal ardi wa man fihinna wa lakal hamd. Laka mulku samawati wal ardi wa man fihinna wa lakal hamd. Anta nuru samawati wal ardi wa lakal hamd. أنت الحق أنت الحق ووعدك الحق ولقاؤك حق وقولك حق الجنة حق والنار حق والنبيون حق ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حق والساعة حق اللهم لك أسلمت وبك آمنت وعليك توكلت وإليك أنبت وبك خاصمت وإليك حاكمت فاغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت لك المقدم وأنت المؤخر أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت. In another narration, لا إله غيرك, instead of لا إله إلا أنت, لا إله غيرك ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. As I told you, the words are simple. I'm sure you understood them, but for those who didn't, he said, O Allah, all praise and thanks are for you. Allahumma lakal hamd. You are the establisher of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in them. All praise and thanks are for you. You are the owner of the heavens and the earth and whatever is in them. All praise and thanks are for you. You are the light of the heavens and the earth. All praise and thanks are for you. You are the king of the heavens and the earth. All praise and thanks are for you. You are the truth, antal haqq, and your promise is the truth, wa wa'aduka al-haqq, and to meet you is true, wa liqa'uka haqq. Your word is the truth, and Jannah is true, and Jahannam is true, and all the prophets are, peace be upon them, are true, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is true, and the day of resurrection is true. O Allah, I surrender my will to you. The first step in the worship of Allah is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, I surrender my will to you. I believe in you and depend on you. And I repent to you. And with your help, I argue with those who are my opponents. And I take you as a judge to judge between us. Please forgive me my previous and future sins and whatever I concealed or revealed. And you are the one who makes some people advance and some people reverse. And there is none to be worshipped but you. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is neither might nor power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, in this dua, in my view, the most critical thing is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنْتَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعْدُكَ الْحَقِّ وَلِقَاءُكَ حَقِّ وَقَوْلُكَ حَقِّ. He said, you are the truth, your promise is true, the meeting with you is true, and your word is true. And then, these words, and all those that came before them, they affirm to the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognizes and believes and has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. This is reaffirmation of this fact, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. The Prophet has believed in what came to him, and the believers have believed with him. This is the evidence of that. And the next thing, therefore, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is, Inni aslamtu, I submit myself to you. I remind you and myself, my brothers and sisters, that Islam demands obedience, and Islam demands complete and total obedience, not partial obedience. The proof of iman is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other proof. The proof of iman is not claiming to have iman. The proof of iman is not singing nasheed or khawali or naat or hamd. The proof of iman is not doing this or that. The proof of iman is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. In what? In everything. Wherever there is a hukum of Allah, the mu'min, the believer, is the one who follows that hukum and does not follow anything else, first of which is his own desires. The biggest deceiver is not shaitan. The biggest deceiver is our own nafs. We deceive ourselves, nobody else. Shaitan helps us to do that by his whispering, by his wasawis. He is only helping along the process. Shaitan has no power over the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this very clearly in Surah An-Nahl and other places in the Quran, that Shaitan himself says, I have no power over you. On the day of judgment, Shaitan will say to the people who obeyed him and who followed him, فَلَا تَلُومُنِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. He will say, don't send lanat on me. Send lanat on yourself. Don't curse me, curse yourself. Because I only suggested to you. I did not grab you by your hand. I did not chain you. I did not drag you. I did not force you. I did not threaten you. I only suggested something to you. You obeyed that suggestion. So whose responsibility is it? Your responsibility. Because you decided to listen to Shaitan instead of listening to Ar-Rahman. You decided, you had both the options. You had the kalam of Allah and you had the teachings of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one hand, and you had the wasawis and the whispering of Shaitan and your own nafs on the other hand. Who made the choice to follow the nafs and Shaitan instead of following Allah and Rasul? Who made the choice? We made the choice. So Shaitan will say very clearly, you made the choice. Yes, I suggested things to you. Yes, I tempted you. But you decided to fall into the temptation. So today, don't curse me, curse yourself. My brothers and sisters, in this dua, Islam means to make these kalimat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are kalimat, which are words which apply to us also. Allahumma anta al-haq is not true only for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is true for every single human being who calls himself a Muslim. Allahumma anta al-haq, O Allah, you are the truth. This is true for every single one of us. The purpose of this dua and the purpose of reminding ourselves is to make this real for us, in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, and to live our lives in the light of this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth, that His promise is true, that our meeting with Him is true, that His word is true. The fundamental question therefore to ask, because all of these things are true, irrespective of whether we choose to believe it or not. Allah is true, even if the entire world denies that. The meeting with Allah is true, even if the entire world denies that. There's no, that does not change. Allah does not need our reaffirmation. Allah does not need our witness to prove to anybody that He exists. So what is, what when we are saying, is it real? Real to whom? To myself. Is this true to me? The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqq. Is this true to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a meter. Now how, if you ask this question, you say, is it true to me? You want to know this. How will you know this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a meter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقُنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ Five things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. There is a whole detailed lecture of mine on this. You can see that later. I just want to highlight five things. Allah said, verily the believers are those who, when the name of Allah is mentioned before them, their hearts shiver with the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wajilat qulubuhum. Iza dhukir Allahu, wajilat qulubuhum. Here is the meter. Here is the test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned before you and me, when we come across the hukum of Allah in a particular case, what happens to my heart? Go inside and check. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. I have to do it for myself. When the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before me, does anything happen to my heart? وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, and when they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation around them, when they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within themselves, their iman increases. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The consequence of this, the result of this, of a heart which is responsive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which shivers with the glory and awe and majesty of Allah, and an iman which increases when the ayat of Allah are mentioned, what is the result of that? وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. These are the people who have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complete and total faith and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. What is the proof that this exists? These three things which I mentioned to you, the heart, the state of iman and tawakkul, are all three internal things. You cannot see that. You cannot see the state of my heart. I cannot see the state of your heart. Whether I have tawakkul or not, I know, Allah knows, you cannot know. Whether you have tawakkul or not, you know, Allah knows, I cannot know. What is the proof of that in the world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. These are the people who establish the salah. Not the people who pray when there is time. Not the people who pray when they feel like praying. Not the people who pray when it is convenient. Who establish salah. Not a single salah is ever missed for any reason. And this means praying in the masjid. Praying in a place other than the masjid is the exception. Yes, it is allowed, but that is the exception. That is not the rule. The rule, when we say salah, means masjid. Need not be mentioned. Salah means masjid. Right? Salah means masjid. Sleep means bedroom. You could be sleeping in the parking lot because you had no place to go, or you got kicked out of the house by your wife. But the point is that that's not the place to sleep. Right? Sleep means bedroom. Salah means masjid. Exception? Yes, true. There's no question of missing the salah. So as an exception, I pray in my house, I pray in my office, I pray wherever. But that is not the rule. The rule is salah means masjid. That is the meaning of establishing of salah. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ and who spend from what we have given them. The proof of whether Allahumma antal haq is true for me and you is this. Let us use that meter. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sign if Allah is real or not. Today we live in a life in which there is no space for reflection and introspection. No space to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have filled our lives with noise. We have bartered our peace and tranquility for social media, message alerts and all kinds of so-called conveniences which are supposed to take away the mundane and repetitive tasks of our lives and give us more free time. But in reality, they have taken away whatever free time we had. Ask yourself, when was the last time you simply sat with your back to a tree and did nothing? Just watch the grass growing. Listen to the birds singing. Or you lay on your back in a hammock on the grass, watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's artwork in the clouds. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me a life where actually I do these things and I can actually recall the time and a place where I saw this cloud changing so many shapes. But this is available to everybody. There is the earth. You can lie down. There is gravity. Who stops you? But this is what we have done to our lives. Today we have built our cities and living spaces such that there is no space for grass to grow or for us to see the sky. And for this we are paying a price. A very heavy price of stress and depression, anxiety, anger and frustration. We get angry and insane about completely useless things. Absolutely insignificant things. Why? Because of what we have done with our lives. To overcome this, we seek therapy in IKEA. And then we are surprised that all we got in return was another bill to pay at the end of the month. We are sick. Read my lips. We are sick. Very sick. To be adjusted to sickness is not a sign of health. It is high time to cure ourselves and seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whose hearts find peace, itmainan, tranquility in the remembrance of Allah. Verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find peace and tranquility. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, what is Dhikrullah? Dhikrullah is not the mechanical repetition of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when we do dhikr, we focus on the wrong thing. We focus on counting how many times this, how many times that. That is not the purpose of zikr. The purpose of zikr is when I am making zikr, what is the effect on my heart? What is happening to me as a human being? It's not how many times did you say La ilaha illallah. When you said La ilaha illallah, did all shirk get removed from your heart? Was your heart cleaned? Otherwise, you can say La ilaha illallah a million times. You still have all kinds of, khurafat inside your heart. How does it matter? It's the connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed. His connection with Allah, he is expressing that when he said, Allahumma anta al-haq, wa wa'aduka al-haq, wa liqa'uka haq, wa qawluka haq. This is the connection of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words, he was speaking to somebody who was present. In whose presence he found himself, about whose presence he was aware. He was conscious of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Antabudallaha fa annaka tara. That is the state of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time when he is saying Allahumma antal haqq. He was speaking to somebody who was real to him. Not a concept, not an idea, not a philosophical construct, but someone who was real, who he knew, who he was connected with, who he communicated with, who listened to him, saw him, knew him, and who he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knew. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was real to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask myself, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala real to me? Please notice, I'm not asking, is Allah real? I know Allah is real. But is he real to me? That is the crux of the matter. And whether Allah is real to me or not, what will tell me? My own life, is it going in obedience to Allah or not? If I say Allah is real to me and I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life, then I am living the life of a munafiq. I am living a life of a munafiq. I am lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am saying Allah is real, but I disobey Allah. What kind of reality is this? I have been informed by the Malaika that some of my beloved brothers here, may Allah bless you. That's why I love you so much, because you can't even lie properly. You can't even deceive me properly. Alhamdulillah. So some of you have been fatwa shopping about club memberships. And the world is round, and what goes around comes around. So all those muftis you go to are my friends before they are your friends. So one of them called me and said, "Aap kya bole? What did you say in the masjid?" So I told them that membership of clubs in which there is alcohol being served, there is a bar, and where there are gaming rooms where cards and so on and so forth, gambling is permitted, where there are dance parties and so on, that membership of the club is haram. So I said, "Did I say wrong?" He said, "No, what you said is right." I said, "What happened?" He said, "No, somebody came to me. They said, you know, Maulana, it is, I go to this hotel and I take a membership of the gym. I use the gym. The hotel also happens to have a bar and so on and so forth. Am I responsible for that?" Obviously the Maulana said, "No, you are not responsible for that. You just go to the gym, you come back." And the man said, "No, the club is also like that." Now this Maulana, these Muftis and Maulanas, mashallah, they are innocent people. They were born in a madrasa, they grew up in a madrasa. They are masoom. Hamare se kha pitonge bolo malum hota. Seriously, I told him that. I said, "You have not done enough guna in your life. You should have done guna, made tawbah, then you understand the reality of this." I said, they don't tell me because they know. I know that inside better than though they know it themselves. I said, "I was a member of some of the most prestigious clubs in this country and I left them, not because I'm a fool." So I said, next time somebody comes, ask them one simple question. Very simple question. And the question to ask is, who is the owner of the hotel? So they will tell you, the owner of the hotel, owner of Taj is the company, the shareholders of the Taj Hotels company, owner of Oberoi is the company, or it is some individual. So this is the owner. So when you go and take a membership of the gym, do you become an owner of the hotel? Of course not. You are a customer of the hotel. You are just like somebody going to have a cup of tea in the hotel. What's the difference? There's no difference. You go and have a cup of tea, you pay for the tea, you go and use the gym, you pay for the gym, that's it. Khalas, your responsibility is over. What happens in the hotel, what does not happen in the hotel is no concern of yours. You are not responsible, good or bad or ugly, not your problem. In a club, you are an owner of the club. You are a member, meaning you are a shareholder in that business. So whatever happens in that business is your responsibility, even if you don't participate in it. So you are saying, "I don't go to the bar," makes no difference. The bar is running because of you. My point is, I am not against clubs. I am very much in favor of clubs. All I am saying is, create a club in which there is no bar. What's so difficult? What's your problem? But until you do that, don't be members of clubs in which there is haram, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being challenged. He is being disobeyed, and the establishment has been created to facilitate this, and you are paying for this, and you say that Allahumma anta al-haq is real for you. So what does it say about your own state of iman? So I told them, I said, "Please, next time they come to you, how dumb is it that even when you go and ask for an opinion, you give them the wrong story?" I mean, this is like total, vacuum in the head. Why would you do that? If you give a wrong story, you will get a wrong decision. You went there to get a wrong decision. And do you think this fatwa shopping is going to save you on the day of judgment when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Please go get all the fatwa you want and write in your will. Put all the fatwas inside my coffin. Make a coffin with a pocket so all the fatwas can go inside that. I told you, I'm saying this to you because I love you, because I am interested in your welfare. But some of my friends get offended. Now, they don't want to say salam to me. They don't want to come to the masjid. No problem. Don't come. Not my house. It's the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When somebody wishes well for you and you get offended, go look in the mirror. What does that say about you? I don't care. Popularity is zilch for me. It makes no difference to me. I'm saying this for your good and I will say it till the day I drop. So make dua. I was 63 on the 20th of October, so I have reached my limit anyway. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call me and you are free. Go join another 10 more clubs. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. My brothers and sisters, please understand the crux of the matter, the meaning of yaqeen is that the slave recognizes his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And that single most reliable sign of recognition is to respond. When you recognize somebody, think about this, you go somewhere, you meet somebody, you suddenly see someone you know. What do? You call out. When you recognize somebody you love, you call out to them, you greet them. When you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you do? Obey him or disobey him? Let us see what those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whom Allah was real. Let us see how did they behave? What did they do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his favorite, Khalilullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا ثُمَّ ادْعُوهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا وَعَلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'm talking about the connection of how real Allah is. Allah is not mentioning a time when Ibrahim alayhi salam was in a crisis and he called out to his Rabb. Allah is not mentioning a time when Ibrahim alayhi salam needed some explanation of something very, very critical and complicated. Allah is mentioning a conversation, a beautiful conversation between him and his Khalil. And what's his conversation? Ibrahim alayhi salam says, and Allah says, remember when Ibrahim said, my Rabb, show me how do you give life to the dead? Kaifa tuhyi al-mauta? Now see the beauty of this conversation. Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking a question and he is getting a response. See the question, see the response. He says, Kaifa tuhyi al-mauta? Allah, how do you give life to the dead? Does Allah answer the question? This is how I do it? No. What is Allah saying? Allah says, Avalam tu'min? You don't believe? Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Qala bala, walakinni yatma'inna qalbi. No, of course I believe. But this is for the, to make me stronger in faith. For the itminan of my qalb. For peace and tranquility of my heart. No, it's such a normal conversation. If you ask somebody, in Urdu, I'm going to say, this all can't be translated. Ye sahi bhi aisa kare, kahi koi yakin nahi hai. Main nahi kar sakta, samajh rahe? Nahi, 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 waisa nahi. Aap karte, matlab dikhaye to. I mean, kaisi, kitni mohabbat ki zaman. How beautiful the, shows the closeness, the khulla. Why am I telling you all this? Because this is possible for every single one of you and me. Allah did not give us examples in the Quran just for the heck of it. Allah gave us the examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what Ibrahim did. You also do it. Alayhi salam. Build this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you can talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalaluhu.
And Allah will answer you. I'm not saying Allah will send wahi, He will not send wahi, but Allah will answer you in a way and you will know this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim said this, do you know? And Allah said, do you not believe? He said, yes, of course I believe, but just to be stronger in faith. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a job. Allah says, take 4 birds, then tame them. Once they are tamed and they come when you call and so on and so forth, they have become your friends, now slaughter them, chop them up into pieces, mix up all that, separate it into 4 parts. So now the 4 parts is not each bird. It's 4 parts with parts of all the birds. Right? It's all mixed up. Then Allah said, go and put one of this chopped up khiba on top of one mountain, then climb down and go to the top of another one and put it there, and the third one, put it on the top of another one, and the fourth one, put on the top of the fourth one, and then come and stand in the middle and call them and they will come to you. Now think about this. How many times have we read this ayat? But how many times did we reflect on it? How many times? What is Allah telling him to do? Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Ibrahim alayhi salam this job. Now you know and I know that you can't just catch 4 adult wild birds and tame them. It's not possible. It doesn't work. So what are we talking about here? We are saying here now Ibrahim alayhi salam has to, and Allah said 4 different birds. So he can't take 4 eggs from the same nest. No. So Ibrahim alayhi salam now has to find 4 different bird species, their nests. He has to monitor those nests until those chicks are hatched and they are at the fledging stage where they are, you know, almost about to fly. Then he must take those chicks. He must feed them. And 4 different species means they don't all eat the same thing. And then when they grow up, he has to train them so they will come when he calls. We are talking about several months. Right? Of activity. It's not instantaneous. And once he has done all that, then the job doesn't end. Now, he has to slaughter them, he has to chop them, he has to chop them up, he has to climb this mountain, put it on top of there, he come back, another mountain and whatnot. And finally, he stands in the middle of that and he calls them and they come to him. Imagine the state of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This happened in his time when he was still a young man. This is before getting Nubuwwat and so on and so forth. Imagine the excitement that he must have felt. The joy that he must have felt. That my Rabb gave me this job. And I'm doing this job and alhamdulillah, this is the joy of yaqeen coming in front of his eyes. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about this ayat, if Ibrahim alayhi salam had the right to say, لِيَتْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِ, we have even more right to say that. When Ibrahim alayhi salam had the right to say, this is for the strengthening of my iman, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we have even more right to say that. Because we need the strengthening of our iman even more than Ibrahim alayhi salam needed it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us total yaqeen in His power and fill our hearts with His glory and majesty. My brothers and sisters, Allah is real. But is He real to us? That's the question to ask. The challenge of people and their opinions holding us back from obeying Allah and thereby denying ourselves the greatest joy of life, to know Allah. This challenge, this impediment was there for Ibrahim alayhi salam also. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not live alone. He had his family, he had his father, he had other people. The fact that they will disapprove, this was there for him also. But he overcame that. And that is the question therefore to ask ourselves. This issue is there for every human being. But those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make their choices. And they reap the benefits. Others also make their choices. Question is, what do we want to choose? You can't choose good and evil together. Please understand this. The two are mutually exclusive. You can't choose good and evil together. This is one of the big fallacies of our time, that we have convinced ourselves that some haram, some halal is fine. Some haram, some halal cannot be fine. Haram and halal are two opposites. They are mutually exclusive. Something which is haram cannot be halal ever. Something which is halal cannot be haram ever. They're two complete opposites. So make your choices. You must choose one. We all must choose one. And the question is, which one do we choose? And it's no great mystery. Our actions will tell us what we have chosen. And that's why Rasulullah ﷺ described al-ihsan as worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if we can see Him. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. And even though we do not see Him, to know that He sees us. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَكْ. That is the essence of His statement when He said, Allahumma anta al-haq. O my Allah, You are the truth. It is to get this sense of reality with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the aim and purpose of Islam. Islam came to connect the slave to his creator without any hindrance or agent between them. That is the essence of Tawheed. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to feel His presence in our lives and to give us the tawfiq to realign our lives away from our desires and away from shaitan and to align them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah to accept all your du'as without you having to ask that dua a second time. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all those who are ill. I ask Allah to save all those who are in, to relieve the difficulty of all those who are in any form of difficulty. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free our necks from the clutches of oppressors, whoever they may be, wherever they may be. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to punish the oppressors in a way which is clear. That this is punishment that is being visited upon their heads. We are living in a world where injustice and oppression has become normal. It is not even, we have normalized oppression. This is not, that's why I said we are a very, very sick society, globally speaking. Muslims included, unfortunately. This has to change. And this, my brothers and sisters, is not the job of some king or queen to change. It is your job to change. And where does that change begin? In our own lives. Believe me, there's no sense in talking about other people's disobedience when you are disobeying Allah yourself. We have to start with becoming obedient ourselves, and this will result, inshallah al-musta'an, in creating a society which will be good for everyone, Muslim or non-Muslim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.